Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another very, very, very special episode of Messy & Co. I'm Ashley here, as always, with my co-host, Gian. But even we have a new guest today. Someone's going to be with us the whole entire episode, Fabian Rankow, big MLS insider, very popular Twitter account /X, I guess, and is going to be part of not only our official Inter Miami season preview, but more importantly, the first ever episode that's going to be on our brand new YouTube channel, 5 Reasons Football. So first and foremost, Fabian, thank you so much for joining. Welcome. Thank you for being on this kickoff episode and just talking MLS and Messi and Inter Miami.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I mean, I'm just happy I don't have to talk about Bronico and Charlotte, you know, starting on the left back. You know, we can talk about something very, very easy here with the best player in the world, you know. So thank you for having me on, and I appreciate it, and I'm excited.
Yeah, awesome. Excited to have you on, and I'm excited to be back to here talking Inter Miami, talking MLS, and what a better person than to start this channel off with you. So thank you so much, Fabian. Really appreciate you coming on.
No, I'm honored. Thank you again. Completely flattered. You guys have a good thing going. I see all the tweets, and I always see Messi & Co. everywhere, so you do a great job.
Oh, thank you. Well, speaking of, the reason why not only are we doing this episode, but what's making it super special, as you can see in the banner, is we are on a brand new YouTube channel called 5 Reasons Football. And the reason we did that is because we're still with our media company, 5 Reasons Sports, South Florida company, huge part of who we are. But not only do we love talking about Messi, we love talking about soccer in general. And we want to extend the conversation globally, nationally, MLS, obviously something that you are incredibly familiar with, but just want to reach people all around the world, create a strong community, and whatever we can talk about, whether it's Messi, Premier League, La Liga, international, obviously World Cup is next year, crazy how quickly it showed up, all of that stuff we're having on this one central place called 5 Reasons Football, and we're super excited to kick it off. So thank you again, Fabian, for being here. And just to give you your flowers, outside of, like I said, you have a really, really successful Twitter account, always on breaking news. No, you do. Stop. We were having this conversation. I said you're kind of like the American version of Fabrizio.
Oh my God,
obviously, bro. Tom Bogert, who we have immense respect for, really, really cool dude, has breaking news. I think you add a bit of flavor. You're obviously a journalist that's worked for Sports Illustrated, 90 Minutes, Leagues Cup, San Jose Earthquakes in general. You have a lot of knowledge, and I think you get the conversations going. You break a lot of good news. You have people interested. You bring in the passion to American soccer and MLS, and I think it's really exciting. So, yeah, just thanks again for being here, and you can just give a little plug, give a little shout out about what you do.
Thank you so much for the flowers, man. I don't know what to do. I'm gonna be red this whole episode. No, but thank you so much for having me on. All I want to say is the motto that I've always lived: if no one's talking about your tweet, or if no one feels a certain type of way about your tweet, then it's not a good tweet. So you have to, you have to, you know, take the good and the bad, and it all helps it become an argument, and it all helps it become something that we are talking about. And at the end of the day, it's sports, right? I mean, everyone's going to have different opinions, and that's the fun, and that's the beauty of it. So I'm always excited to talk and argue and have a good time about sports. It's always a good time.
I love it. Awesome. All right. Well, speaking of arguments and the most, maybe, I don't know if controversial is the word, but the most talked about MLS topic, person, player, subject is Messi. And this is obviously called Messi & Co. So our first question to you, the hard-hitting question, how would you describe the Messi effect starting in, you know, 2023 2023 when he joined in July to now? What has been your opinion on not just the Messi effect, the players he's brought, the interest he's bought, the controversy, the team, all of that stuff? I'm curious, just like, what is your bird's eye view of it?
So I kind of have something in mind that will get everybody to hate me on the show already, but
bring
it. This is not the Brad Guzan effect, you know, like, no, seriously.
Too soon.
Yeah, right. What it is to be a Niner Miami fan where you have every trophy in your possible, you know, so, or at least in your sights. But no, the Messi effect has been a good one. Okay. I'm going to say it's been good, not great. I think it's something that we, you know, I want to almost say that he might not be the best free agent signing ever for North American soccer. I think people talk about Pelé a lot, about how much he did for the game and how much he did for the sport in the United States. And I personally have not yet seen that from Messi. Yes, the hype is there. Yes, people want to go see him. But the way people just romanticize going to see Pelé as a kid, seeing Pelé play in the West Coast, seeing Pelé play in almost every game, is something that is very, very romanticized. And I think the Messi effect has been good, but I think it's also tarnished his reputation a little bit.
The injuries have made it difficult, yeah.
Yeah, him choosing not to travel to many places have, I mean, it's Messi. His reputation is always going to be Messi, right? But him deciding not to travel to a lot of West Coast places has left a really bad taste in a lot of MLS fans across the league. And also, Miami getting everybody to pay for a salary, a lot of people have a bad taste because it's like, hey, man, like, we get a game against Miami, but we don't get to see Messi. And then the All-Star game comes around, and then he's on a yacht outside of, you know, Spain instead of at the All-Star game, you know. So it's been good. It could be a lot better, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with everything that you said. I do think, obviously, in general, I think Messi has been a good thing for the league. But, you know, a lot of things, especially spoken on Twitter from fans and things that they've shared, it's like, you know, they're expecting Messi to show up at every game. And I can kind of understand that part. But at the same time, I think it's more about the league in general and them not requiring the communication that maybe they want before each game to kind of, you know, bring down those expectations. It's not like the NBA, you know, where the NBA is asking ahead of time who's going to play, who's not going to play. So I can kind of understand where you're coming from, but I think this is more on the league and them setting the expectation on teams and really communicating what players are going to play and are not going to play. On the other hand, I think Messi, like, he's been able to bring light onto this league and bring players that I think that probably wouldn't have shown up to this league if it wasn't for the fact that he's been here. You talk about young players like Diego Gomez that maybe wouldn't have been here. You talk about other young players from South America, players from Europe that are coming here to kind of respice their careers and that sort of thing, knowing that all eyes are going to be on this league. So I think that in that capacity, I think Messi has really done a good job of, you know, him maybe being the quiet type and maybe not trying to be in the limelight, just his just knowing that he is in this league, I think has kind of brought a lot of attention to it. And really why MLS went through kind of the hoops of trying to get Apple and Adidas and that sort of thing to kind of front the money for this type of player, knowing that it's more about the future. You know, they'll have the short-term investments coming in, but kind of making it a global league. And that's why you see some of these tours that like Inter Miami is doing. Is it's not just for Inter Miami, I think for MLS in general, it's bringing a lot of light and a lot of visibility that they otherwise wouldn't have had. But I can definitely understand some of the frustrations, especially from those that are maybe not Messi fans to start with, and maybe like, you know, the Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, we're South Florida. We're lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, whether it was Cristiano coming here or Messi, those two guys were really big world-class players that I'd be happy to have either of them. In this case, we have Messi. Who knows if Ronaldo ends up coming.
Yeah, look, I completely agree with you. I think he's brought a lot of guys to the league, like Langoni, Hernan Lopez, all these Argentinian young players that have looked at this league differently. And you know what? He's actually, I would say this, I think he's actually helped a lot of transfer fees for Argentinian players going back to the Argentinian league. Like, look at Velasco being $12 million. Yeah. That's insane. It's because a lot of the Argentinian people actually watch these games so that they have a love for Velasco, or they have a love for Lucho Acosta, where they're actually household names nowadays, and they want them to come into the Argentinian league again. And that you're seeing that with Driussi and everything. I do agree with you on that standpoint, because I don't think Langoni even touches MLS from Boca if Messi's not here. So no, 100%. Another thing though is, I don't know, Messi has a private jet. He doesn't have to go on the boat. He can wait. He can not play and be at the All-Star game, say hi to everybody that showed up. So that's my thing. Yeah. And then Suarez picking up a mysterious injury so he could be on the boat too. You know, hey, boats are slippery. I don't want my injured players to be on boats. That's what I'm going to say. But yeah. I think we're seeing a little too much of how the sausage was made, so we can't enjoy the sausage, right? So it's like, you know, like, Messi, do you really got to post that boat? You know, like, if you don't want to go, just don't post the boat or like the pizza, you know, like the famous pizza.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The pizza is crazy. Yeah. I mean, I think those are really fair criticisms or critiques of it in general. I think if he didn't get injured in Copa America.
Right.
I think a lot of that probably would have been different. But it's a woulda, coulda, shoulda. He's obviously older. Part of the risk Inter Miami MLS took was hoping he wouldn't get injured that much. I mean, during Barcelona, you know, he was rarely injured, but age and circumstance does catch up with you. So I think to your point, you know, if injuries and his visibility was a little bit more, and he was, you knew he was never going to be like Cristiano, like shouting from the rooftops about Inter Miami or MLS in general, because he's never done that anywhere. That's not his personality. But you knew his play on the pitch. I mean, we talk about this a lot in our shows. I would say even today, if he's perfectly healthy, he'd make a lot of people starting 11 in the world. Like,
100%. Yeah.
Which is crazy. He's 38 years old and you know, second, third season in MLS, you'd be like, oh, wash. Like, Cristiano would not make a lot of 11s. Messi will make most people starting 11 today, which is, I think, you know, probably more than MLS could have asked for, in that sense that, like, the quality of play he's bringing, and Suarez, to the amount of goals Suarez got. As a Uruguayan yourself, you, I'm sure, have kept an eye on Suarez. The level of play all four of the Barcelona boys have brought to MLS in general, to me, has been very impressive. And I'm obviously biased, but it's a high quality of play we're getting, more than I think people thought.
Yeah, look, I have a funny story about Suarez, and I'll tell you guys that in a second. But on this question alone, I wish Messi brought more of the American sports fan to MLS instead of getting the world soccer fan to watch MLS. Mm. And this has to do a lot with, I think, the Apple TV deal. And I've always said this, but I almost feel like ESPN has been very, very, I don't want to say catty, but very, very, can I say butthurt? Is that,
totally. You can do whatever you want.
They have been very butthurt that MLS went with Apple, and you don't see any MLS on top 10, you know, top 10 Sports Center. You don't see any MLS on any of their ESPN shows being talked about. Maybe one time when Messi was signing, but it's not capturing the American sports fan. And that is the main target audience, in my opinion, that MLS has to go for. And don't tell me that, oh, Americans don't like the best of the best, because college football gets crazy numbers. And don't even get me started about who watches college football, because I don't get it. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm with
but,
you.
But like, why would you watch that? They only got to put one foot down. It's a completely different game. You know, but seriously, my whole thing is like, you need to capture the American and not just the soccer fan. And I think Messi could do a little bit more. I had a tweet when he first came here. Messi has more followers on Instagram than Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, LeBron James, Stephen Curry combined. And that hasn't been attacked as much as more than I wanted to, but alone too, that's all Messi too, because he was just invited to the White House and he didn't go. Yeah. Right. So personally, I think there's been a couple missteps in his career in MLS. He can get away with it because he's Messi, but that's for me. That's why I think it's good and not great. But also, if he gets us into Libertadores, and no one's going to admit that, it's because Messi's in the league. But if MLS gets a place in Libertadores forever, this transfer is a success no matter what way you want to put it, because that's going to help out the just all the clubs getting known with the MLS clubs. And you're going to see, like you were saying, Gian, more players from Argentina come to MLS. So that alone would make the Messi move worth it. But I want to say this about Suarez. You were Uruguayan. My parents are both from Uruguay. But you know how pissed they were every time Suarez got on the field over Campana? My mom's the biggest Campana fan. And she's in Uruguay right now. And I'm going to break the news to her that Campana's not on the team anymore on the game of the season. And it's going to be horrible. And Suarez doesn't do anything for Uruguay, but when he's with Miami and Messi, they go on boats and they score little goals, you know. But that's just a funny story. But every time I get the Suarez comparisons to me being Uruguayan, I always think my mom just yelling at the screen, he doesn't do anything, you know. So
yeah, your mom is not the only one that it hit her hard. Definitely hit Ashley very hard. Maybe not for the same reasons, but
not for the same reasons. I'm gonna just miss looking at him. No, but I think having that perspective and like we said, we have, you know, like rose colored, like pink tinted glasses, right? Like we're Inter Miami fans. We live in Miami. We've also only had this team for 5 years. Like we've been very, very spoiled, and we can understand Messi optically. There's still questions to be asked. I will say, I think not only is he definitely playing this full season in the Club World Cup, as you, I'm sure, also know with your sources, he's like 99% re-signing for 2026 yeah. with the idea that at the very minimum, he's going to play through the World Cup. And so, you know, we expect to see at least another season and a half to two full seasons of him in MLS and hoping to still stay at that level, because he's, you know, the plan obviously is unless barring catastrophic injury, he will be representing Argentina and will be starting in the World Cup next year. So that there's still a story to be written there, right? So we'll have to wait and see. But outside of just Messi, and I'm really glad you gave us your thoughts and perspective, I think it's super important. We are an Inter Miami podcast as well. So we want to talk about, as this is an official season preview, we want to talk about the signings and the coaching that has now come to Inter Miami. And Gian, I know, specifically has been following a lot of this and has his thoughts about Mascherano and about the new signings. And I'm curious, as an MLS insider, what your perspective is too. So Gian, you can kick us off.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, kind of looking at this team and seeing how it's evolved over the last 5 years going into its fifth season, and looking at the coaching and how it started, you know, we had Diego Alonso, so you go to Phil Neville, then you go, you know, to Tata Martino.
And it's really looking, Diego Alonso, yeah.
Yeah, and we're looking at Mascherano, and I'm kind of looking at his resume and trying to figure out, you know, is Mascherano really the right direction for this Inter Miami team that seems to have been evolving in its coaching, right? So, you know, you look at guys like Diego Alonso, who had experience, Phil Neville, maybe not as much experience, but, you know, still early on in the club's history. But then you go to Tata Martino that has an MLS Cup, that coached big teams, Barcelona, that coached national Mexico, teams, Mexico, yeah. You know, and he comes in with a really nice resume, and he's done a lot. And obviously you bring him in as soon as you got Messi coming in here and Suarez, Busquets, Alba, like world-class players, I think, bring however you feel about Tata Martino requires a world-class coach, and he's a world-class coach. So then I look at Mascherano. That was quite a surprise for me, seeing him be named the next coach. I know that nobody can really question his club career, right? He's one of the best defender midfielders during his time, second most capped player in Argentina, played for Liverpool, Barcelona, won La Liga titles, Champions Leagues. I mean, from that aspect, I think there's no question that he was a great player. But do great players always make great coaches? So, you know, let me look at his coaching career, which is very limited. Coached the U20 team for Argentina, the 2024 Olympic team. No real, you know, titles or that sort of thing. And I really am trying to think, other than the fact that he does have some experience with some of the young guys that are on this Inter Miami team, like Cremaschi, Facundo Farias, Federico Redondo, and Aviles. And I know that Inter Miami is kind of leaning on a lot of building up the young guys. We've seen that with some of the signings that they've made as of late. But other than that, was this really the right step forward when you're looking at the Leagues Cup, CONCACAF Champions, FIFA Club World Cup? Is this a step forward in coaching for Inter Miami, or was this a step back? Was it the right decision? I'm still on the fence. I have a bit of a stronger feeling towards one side more than the other, but I'd love to get your feedback. And you have a lot of experience and you're covering MLS and coaching decisions and that sort of thing. How do you feel about this Mascherano decision? Was there enough there other than really the relationships that he has with some of the guys on this pitch, specifically Messi, who we know really probably does get what he wants on this team? Is there another reason why he's on the team? Look,
I'm just shocked. I want to see his resume. I don't know how you make a resume with one job, personally. and a job he didn't do very well at, you know? So I just want to be on that boardroom meeting and with Jorge Mas kind of looking at
I need that word template, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I need that. I need to get a job.
That was a chat GPT.
It honestly wouldn't even know because he didn't win anything. No, on all serious note, I was a big Tata fan, and I was a big fan of him winning the record, you know, without Messi playing for a lot of the season. So unfortunate, I mean, that, you know, Atlanta United happened. They didn't have another way of winning a game besides Messi shooting with his left foot outside the box. And then Tata had to go. Was he forced out? Was what they say real? You know, so that's one thing to think about too. Now, Javier Mascherano didn't really do much because the U20 World Cup was Argentina actually didn't qualify. I mean, they moved the World Cup from wherever it was. I forgot it was, but they moved it to Argentina and then made Argentina qualify for the World Cup. Yeah. So he didn't get them there. And then in the Olympics, he really didn't do anything with a team that should have been one of the best teams in, I would say, the Olympics. You had Almada, a player that's a European player now. You had a whole bunch of these young players that should be something when the old guard of, you know, Di Maria, Messi, all these guys kind of go away, you know, they retire. It's just, yeah, I think the pedigree is something that we're really, 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 really hoping that he has, you know. I don't want to say – you guys notice how many MLS coaches lose jobs and then they regain another job.
Yeah.
So it's really not that serious, I guess. I hate to say it, but like a lot of MLS coaches get jobs in other MLS cities. So
not set in stone. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really like we could have got an MLS guy, you know, cause there was 10 of them available, you know, and I think there's still Gio Savarese available, a very capable MLS coach that they could easily bring in to win. But I think this is more of the worldwide draw that Mascherano brings you, right? Now you get the pictures of Mascherano, you know, coaching Messi. And I don't want to say it's almost like a photo op, but But
everything's a photo op. Doesn't mean it's not real.
It's a nice one. Yeah. So yeah. I'm interested to see. I'm so interested to see that I'm going to be in Vegas seeing how, you know, Inter Miami 2 plays against America. It's going to be
our new Messi and co correspondent.
So I'm interested to see how he really tries to shore up this defense and tries to motivate Messi, you know? So far, I like that he's trying to speak English. I think that's great. Even I believe someone reported this, but even asked the question if he was right when he was saying something. So I like that type of ambition. I'm going to say this. If you don't speak Spanish for Inter Miami, your days are numbered and the GAM counter is just going up. That's for sure. Robert Taylor, Drake Callender, yeah. I'm looking at you. No,
it's a fair. It's fair. As a media member, I understand the struggle of not speaking Spanish fluently. But all right. Well, so the jury's out.
At least I'm not crazy then, because I was definitely questioning the move. I'm sure.
I still think you're crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'm for other reasons. Probably, much
for the U20 team for Argentina and the Olympics. So, you could have got Xavi. I thought Xavi was a better candidate if you wanted that pedigree. But Mascherano was one I wasn't expecting, to be honest.
Yeah, no, and Xavi was one that was a dream for me as well, seeing him at Barca. You know, I think over there he didn't get as much kudos as he deserved for some of the things he did more not so surface level. But I thought that was kind of a question.
This coaching move seems like they're ready to churn out Redondo. They want to make sure Redondo gets the most playing time and the highest price tag possible. And I think this is a coach that could do that for them. I don't think it's maybe the best winning coach, because shoot, you're in Miami. You could have got Jardine, literally the America coach, the best winning coach in North America to play or to coach your Inter Miami team with Messi. So I don't think Messi's biggest thing is to win with this coaching hire.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that and see that, especially when you have, you have Leagues Cup or CONCACAF Champions, but when you have the opportunity for a vacancy at a coaching job that has Messi going into FIFA Club World Cup, that's a big deal.
Right. And
to your point, like, you can get plenty of big names. That's a very attractive job. So I almost wonder maybe what other names were just left out there. And how much of this was a Messi decision more than anything as to who he was comfortable with. As we know, he likes to bring in his friends. And but
Messi we'll and see. Go. You know, that's why our name is and go.
Let me tell you this. You could have got Thano Ortiz, Messi's biggest fan.
The jury's still out, right? Like, you know, to your point, MLS coaches, I think there's this – I think – Mascherano is going to have a much shorter leash than Tata had.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I think Tata had a lot of pedigree, and I mean, you know, Messi was still it was his first coach at Inter Miami, and I think now it's a shorter leash. I'm hoping it's successful. But I think if you see early on, you know, if we get knocked out of, you know, one of the cups we're looking for, or if our record isn't looking good with or without Messi, we may see a shorter leash. That's just my opinion. I guess we'll wait and see.
I mean, he's taking over a team that, you know, just won the Supporters Shield, and that basically Tata left set for him on a table on a silver platter. Like,
record
you know,
breaker,
so I do agree. He's definitely, I think he has a shorter leash. And it's interesting also to kind of see, you know, with that, the signings that we're starting to see under Mascherano and see some of the guys that have left. You're talking about guys that are very, very important to the team, like Diego Gomez, who was a huge signing for them and then ended up going into the over the Premier League at Brighton. Guys that were especially important in the midfield, in the attack, Matias Rojas. So I think that what we've kind of seen so far with Mascherano is him kind of filling in those gaps with really important players. One being, you know, there's quite a few, but we'll kind of maybe mention some of the ones that are official and also very close to being official. But one like Fafa Picoult comes to mind, who we Inter Miami knows very well, and facing him in the Leagues Cup when we won. Telasco Segovia, the Venezuelan international midfielder that plays in Portugal right now, who is a really good attacking midfielder. So we kind of see some attacking players there that are really filling in some of those voids. And then Tadeo Allende from Celta de Vigo, and then Maximiliano Falcón, who's a defender, a really important guy from Colo-Colo that's going to be a really good fit, I think, in Inter Miami, especially we know that last season they had no issues attacking. They were the team that scored the most goals. But one of the things or areas where they suffered the most was really on the defensive end. So I think Maximiliano, a guy like Maximiliano Falcón, is going to be a big help, a starter right away in my eyes. But I guess, Fabian, like when you're looking at some of these signings, like Fafa, Telasco, Tadeo and Maximiliano, are these some of the signings that you think are kind of ready to start right away into this team? Or are these guys are going to be maybe more of like backups? Because I'm looking at, you know, some of these, I'm looking at a heavy schedule for Inter Miami. Obviously, there may be two teams, but I look at some of these guys, and to me, some of these guys are 18 players. It's going to be interesting to see who ends up going to the bench. Maybe starters.
Miami had a very, very glaring issue down the stretch, was that they didn't have enough speed when it comes to stretching the field. Suarez being, the prolific striker he is, the good striker he is, but the guy's on one knee, basically. So they added some speed with Fafa Pico. And then hopefully, I know Fafa Pico very, very closely, drinks mate from Miami. He knows like
eight. That's an entry level requirement. You have to drink mate or else you're not allowed in the building.
No, but 100%. I used to have a show called the Mate Soccer Show, and I had him on time.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Talking about mate. So it was something that he was very proud of. So I was like, oh, that's a perfect fit. You know, like, they're going to be like, Fafa's basically Uruguayan or Argentinian. So I think that if they got him on a cheaper deal, which I'm assuming they did, they got him on a lower salary than what they would get him on the market price. I like the deal. I think that's perfect. You bring on a winger that's a lot cheaper than Rojas. Maybe I actually like Fafa, because when Vancouver played Miami, Fafa was the main guy just torching Miami in that speed. So I think they like that a lot. And to say that's probably going to take over the Rojas role, I think he's going to come off the bench. Segovia, to me, I watched some highlights on him. He looks like Gomez, but maybe a little saucier with the ball. He likes to, you know, be a little bit more attack-minded type of player compared to Gomez. Gomez always got open in space and always shot, so expect the same from Segovia. I think that's going to happen. He currently has 2 goals in the Portuguese league, so that is something. Gomez had 3 last season, so it's something that you might see exactly the same as in Gomez. Falcón, he's a little bit of a crazy one. You need that in the back line. You need that with Toto. I mean, Toto is very hot-headed, but maybe you need some more dog in him, and I think Falcón is going to be able to teach him that, or he's going to have that on that side. Reminds me a lot of Diego Lugano, if you guys used to watch, like, Uruguay games. Paso Jose Maria Jimenez, that type of Uruguayan defender that's just gritty, right? That's what you need. So I like that one a lot. I think he's going to walk in right into the starting lineup with Aviles next to him, because you're not giving up on Aviles. He was a big transfer fee. So in my opinion, Martinez's loan ends in the summer. So you probably slot Falcón in and Aviles there on the side of him. But yeah, the other transfers, Miami's in a weird spot. I mean, you're Inter Miami. If you really want to get any single player in the world, you could. So yeah. The only thing that holds you back is the MLS roster rules. And I'm a huge fan of Facundo Farias. I think Farias, if healthy, should be starting for this team. But I think he's going to be, unfortunately, the odd man out, because they're trying to find this loophole where if you loan out a U22, you get to keep a U22 plus the player. So that means you get to add another U22. So with this loophole, I think we're going to see Facundo Farias basically be out of the squad and in the Argentinian league. And I love Facundo Farias. I thought he was the future of Inter Miami. So I think it's
great
just
dude too. We've met him a few times. Very nice.
Yeah. And I think it's just the unfortunate, they found a loophole and they want to exploit it. Right. So they are bringing in a guy that, you know, Mascherano knows. And then they have another U22 open slot. So no, Miami's in a very weird position, and you leave that open DP spot for Neymar. Today, the Chicago Fire.
Oh, I was going to bring that up in my next topic. All right, go ahead. You can say it now.
The Chicago Fire were linked to Neymar, but baloney. I mean, come on.
Zero. 0% chance that happens.
There's a lot, though. You know, maybe one AP picked it up and, like, everyone's just posting it. But more than I've seen about any other story about Neymar is I've seen about Chicago today.
That would be the biggest want of life, but I think there's zero chance that happens.
I don't think Neymar wants to play unless it's Miami. So I think he's gonna retire or to just collect a free paycheck if it's not Miami. But you know what I think is happening, and I don't think this is out yet, but I think Chicago might own his discovery rights. So
really,
yeah, or one of these teams that are interested in Neymar. So if they show interest in Neymar, Miami owes them some gam. Same thing happened with Marco Royce. So I think we're starting to see the start of a cycle where Miami needs to pony up some gam. And no, Chicago's going to say, no, we we're going to sign him. So they get the most gam, right? So this is something that happens in MLS, and this is oddly MLS. This happens nowhere else because everybody knew about Neymar when he was at Santos. It's not like Chicago Fire found him. So it's something that's very
interesting. Do they just put their hands in and, like, whoever raised their hand first got Neymar for 15 years after? Like, that was the idea? Honestly,
I have no idea how Charlotte had Royce's discovery rights when Charlotte was a team for 2 years. So it's like, what's going on here? No one said they wanted Royce 3 years ago, you know? So it's interesting that this is still a rule. But, yeah, this is – Neymar is someone that I think this is just them trying to brew up more gam. The ESPN article by my friend Jeffrey Carlisle, great article. He put a quote in there though that said Mascherano said that it was impossible at the moment. Yes, at the moment, because they don't own his discovery rights. So I think that's what Mascherano was alluding to, or they wanted to bring in Di Maria and they need to open up a fourth DP slot, or they buy down Busquets with all the gam they get from Drake Callender and Robert Taylor. So at the moment, there needs to be moves to be made to bring in Neymar. So that's why it's impossible. But that's why it's impossible. I don't think Apple TV lets Neymar go to another MLS team.
I don't think he goes to another MLS team, but he's going to
Tim Cook's.
I don't think he's coming to MLS. You really think he is?
100%. 100%. Neymar hangs out in Las Vegas. Like, he just likes America. So, like, for Copa America, he was in the stands watching Brazil play in Las Vegas, but the crowd went crazy for him. And he wasn't even playing. He was just waving from the box, and nobody was watching the game when Neymar was waving in the box. And that's crazy to think about. If I'm Apple, or if I'm any sort of Apple exec on the MLS project, I'm saying – I'm going straight to Tim Cook. You need to sign this man. It needs to be MSN back in Miami. Make it happen. I don't care. Call Don Garber. I'm going to make the change. So I don't see Apple even letting any MLS team sign him. And that's my honest opinion. Because
I agree with that. I just didn't
imagine if you're Apple and you get to say, MSNs on Apple TV exclusively. Yeah, that's getting you so many subscribers. That's getting Apple iPhone purchases. And what you have to pay, what, $40 million? That's a drop in the bucket for Apple.
Yeah. I will also say, just, and you touched on it earlier about just in general Apple and ESPN and like whether it's worked or not worked. I think Apple does have a lot of work to do for the American market. But what I will say that I think has been outstanding is the fact that they post so much content for the world to see. Like within minutes of big MLS moments happening, they immediately post it on social media. They post the high definition version. They want the clips to go viral. And they've gotten a lot of viral clips out of it, but maybe to your point, more globally than in American. But yeah, I mean, they have a chance. They have the money and they have the backing. I don't know. I really don't see a world where Neymar's here, but I'll be the first one in line if he is.
How much does it cost to make like an Apple commercial? Let's say it's $20 million because it's Apple. Okay. They can make an iPhone commercial for $20 million. Imagine Neymar playing on an iPhone and then turning around and winking. That's your commercial, and you paid for half of his salary of the year, basically, with that one commercial.
And then, that unlocks Brazil.
Neymar is South America, but yeah. Like, if there isn't Messi here, Neymar is easily number two.
Yeah, and it's not just Apple. And I made a brief tweet about this on our social media, but look, there's also I won't name the brand, but we can kind of guess there's a brand that would, do very well. And it's high, and is linked with Messi and with Inter Miami that would do very well. And I had a source, a high level executive within that brand,
three stripes.
That I you can guess, that said that it was highly likely and that it was a top priority to bring Inter him to Inter Miami and MLS. And I think for me, it's only a matter of time. So I think it's, along with Fabian, it seems like we're all on board that there's a high chance it can happen.
I hate to say it because I cover this league so much, but we're talking about like billions of dollars being made. So I think this is one where business is going to trump actual integrity of the league and actual integrity of the sport, where Apple's going to step in and say, no, we need to change these rules to get Neymar in Miami.
Well, speaking of rules and MLS in general, I mean, also I'm going to put this out here now, and it's recorded. If Neymar signs with Miami that night, you're back on for another episode to go through all of the implications and understanding of it. Gian thinks so too. I can't picture it, but I'm hoping it's true.
You guys got Messi, right? Anything is possible. Like Jorge
So true. That's so. Do you know what's really, really quick? Funny story is that my mom and I were going to a lot of Inter Miami games, like starting when the league started. Obviously, there was COVID and all that stuff. But literally, the February of 2023. I said to my mom when they were renewing season tickets, I was like, Mom, let's get season tickets. She's like, well, we can just go to a game whenever we want. I'm like, listen to me right now. Messi's signing in July. Like, he's joining MLS. Like, I have this vision. I've seen tweets. Get the season tickets now. We got the season tickets. Lo and behold, he signs in July. So you never know. It could happen. But all right, outside of Neymar, outside of Inter Miami, outside of Messi, MLS in general, you're obviously an MLS insider. We've seen big moves happening around the league. We saw a big move today by Austin. What are kind of your big stories right now, big moves you've seen happen over the offseason or moves you think are going to happen?
Yeah, so this new trade for cash, basically, rule is something that was definitely needed in MLS. So basically now, if you're listening to this, you can now, if you're, let's say, Cincinnati, can just outright pay for Evander to come over to your team, which before you couldn't do that, or you had to do it with GAM, but there's only a certain amount of GAM you can give. So there was only about like 3 million, 4 million GAM that you can give to make a transfer happen. So a lot of times you saw these high-profile superstars not going within MLS and trading within MLS because you can't give 10 million in GAM for a player. So a player like Lucho Acosta or Evander, their price tag is going to be north of 10 million. So we're probably talking 11 to 12 million. And now you can just outright buy them and put them on your team. So this is actually really exciting because you get to keep superstars in the league. So how do you grow a soccer league? How do you grow a fan base within the United States? You have to have superstars because the American fan loves watching LeBron James throw that smoke in the air, or the clay in the air, right? So, or the chalk, excuse me. Loves watching Steph Curry chew on his mouthpiece because they know Steph Curry. So if MLS wants to grow, they have to keep their superstars in this league. And this is perfect for that. Portland doesn't want to pay Evander. Sure, no problem. Orlando will, you know. So it's something that it's interesting to see for the coming years. I don't see Miami truly utilizing this at all because Miami's in a weird situation where they don't need to buy MLS guys. They can buy Neymar. No, they can buy Maria. So it's like I don't see – maybe tier one MLS teams taking a bite at this. So we're talking about like the LAs, the New Yorks, the Miamis. I don't really see them using this so much. Maybe selling wise, yes. But I see more teams like the Orlandos, the Nashvilles, the Cincinnatis, the Columbus taking advantage of this rule when they sell off their superstar. So, for example, Orlando sold Facundo Torres to Palmeiras, right? Why not fill it in with an MLS proven guy like Evander? So you get to bring in a guy who's an MVP candidate for the same, maybe $11 million, $12 million, and you're set. You have an MLS superstar, you know? So you don't have to take a chance on a foreign player again. You could take a known commodity. So that's why I think you're going to see more DPs be traded in this league. So Evander, Lucho Acosta. Lucho Acosta is a weird one for you guys. Would you take Lucho Acosta? And you get two buyouts now, right?
Well, and he says he's made it kind of clear that he doesn't really want to stick with Cincinnati, or he's, you know, if the right offer comes. Wait. I mean, I would be interested about like Hany Mukhtar, like for Nashville, or you know,
Hany. I actually know Hany pretty personally. He's very happy. He's bringing in a little kid in this world. He's married to a girl from Nashville. I think he's having a great time in Nashville. I don't think he would want to move. He's about to play for the USFNT, I feel like. Lucho Acosta is one where it's like, hey, I know you want to go back to Argentina, but Miami's basically Argentina. You sure you don't want to go to Miami?
Basically.
So that one's interesting for you guys. But what's going to happen is, basically, you would have to take on the transfer fee into the part of the salary. So this is why I only see DPs moving for this or U22s, because the transfer fee you paid gets cut into the salary. So let's say Lucho Acosta makes $6 million a year. You paid $10 million for it. Now you cut that 10. He has 2 years left. You cut that $10 million in half, and now he's getting paid $11 million on the year. So you can't just purchase a normal salary guy, because that transfer fee is going to go into the player. So when I first heard of this, I was like, oh, perfect. Miami's just going to buy Yamar and whatever defender that's good in MLS. No, unfortunately, you can't do that, right? So I don't think Miami's going to be using this unless they want to, you know, poach a U22 from someone else, which I doubt, because now you have Javier Mascherano. You have him having access to all the Argentinians in the world, right? So I don't think that's going to happen. But in terms of transfers out, Driussi is a very, very cool one to see. We talked about this a little earlier because, I mean, man, Austin made a profit and they sold a whole bunch of seats.
10 million.
Yeah, and they sold a whole bunch of seats with Driussi as the main dish. So that's a positive for Austin. I mean, you made out with money and you had two or three seasons with this superstar, right? So that's a nice one to see. A whole bunch of transfers coming in. San Jose getting Chicho Arango for that cheap is something that I'm Jose very excited Martinez, for.
Who we know, obviously.
Yeah, so that was a steal. I think the steal of the offseason. You get a guy who's competing with Messi for the MVP for half of the season. And that's something that can probably be duplicated, especially with the crazy young talents they have there in San Jose. But no, I'm excited to see where Evander lands. I don't know if you guys follow Evander on social media. Yeah. But he was wearing an MLS shirt. He wasn't wearing a Portland one when he was training in Brazil. So I think he knows he's going somewhere in MLS. So keep an eye out on that one, because Miami fans, if you're listening to this, Evander might be your next rival.
For Orlando, he may be. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's a really good point about maybe not so much like the big teams like the LA or the Miami. But, you know, MLS, it makes me think a lot about NBA, and like you gave the LeBron and Steph example. MLS has honestly a very clear-cut guide if they want to see not only international, but like how do you create the passion within the United States? Like look at a Milwaukee or, you know, an Oklahoma City Thunder. And some of our listeners, maybe not NBA fans, but the superstars can get you there, and being able to hold that value. The second tier teams, as you said, like maybe a Chicago, maybe a Dallas, right, maybe, you know, a Nashville, you know, an Orlando, they have pretty big fan bases, right? And so they, if they can maneuver with these new MLS rules and make some more statement signings, they'll keep the passion, and they'll keep growing and hopefully keep creating parity. Because I think what this hopefully is going to do is create a little bit more parity with those teams right below the right. Miamis and the LAs, that they don't have that level of money or that level of whatever, but they can now get some of those bona fide stars right. to like make them contenders.
This is going to see a lot of those stars not go to Liga MX. Yep. So for example, I think that was something that this trade rule does. Like, I mean, Matty Bogus going possibly to Cruz Azul for $12 million. That's great business. You bought him for $1 million LAFC, and now you're selling it for 12. So, but other guys like Evander, Lucho Acosta, that would be a crazy name for a Liga MX team. Like Lucho Acosta, yeah, Argentina is where you want to go, but man, imagine him on like, shoot, Leon with James, you know, like that would be crazy. So I think
I can get James in come to MLS. I thought that would happen.
Honestly, I'm just excited for Lee's Cup now. I mean, James is going to sell out anywhere he goes, just like a Messi would. I mean, Colombia was crazy during Copa America, right? So they got to make sure Leon plays in big markets.
Yeah. Yeah,
I agree. That would have definitely been a player that I would have liked to see at Inter Miami. But I'm glad either way that we're going to be able to see him here.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think overall the idea is, you know, it starts to create a league where some of these young guys and some of these players for other teams that were maybe looking at other leagues to kind of make their jump to the Premier League or make their jump somewhere else, that were maybe thinking about Mexico or thinking about other South American teams, they're going to be able to be within the MLS ecosystem long enough, I think, for them to develop, long enough for these teams to continue to grow and make money off of these transactions before they go and continue on in their careers. And I think that's going to be good for the longevity of this league. So overall, I got to agree that that's a win-win for everybody. And I'm just interested. I'm like trying to mull in my brain. Like, I agree. I don't know if Inter Miami will necessarily use this rule to buy, but like, who's the next guy out using this cash rule?
Let's say Portland sells Evander. If I'm Portland, I'm calling for Facundo Farias right now. Yeah. $8 million, take it or leave it, you know, because he's the odd man out anyway. So yeah, that's a U22 player where his salary doesn't count, right? So that's something where I'm, yeah, paying $8 million for Facundo Farias or Redondo if you guys are giving up on Redondo, you know. So Miami, I think, has a blessing. Being in Miami, you're always going to get those young Argentinians. And you have Messi, right? Like you said, Gian, earlier in the show, you're always going to get that type of talent. But Portland can't. So right. Portland's already banking on the fact that they're in MLS. They're accustomed to the league. They know a little bit more English, or at least can, you know, want to make a name for themselves, because maybe something happened where they didn't make a name for themselves in Miami and they're out of the pecking order, right? So, no, it's interesting. I think Miami is going to use this more to sell than to buy.
I think that's interesting. And this is kind of, I don't know if it's random, but like I was surprised this offseason in particular that like Robert Taylor didn't go, for example, to a different MLS team, because he's had a lot of big viral moments with Messi. Good caliber player, is not in our best 11 anymore, and obviously speaks English. And you know, I would think that another maybe smaller market team would want to take him on, and maybe Inter Miami just didn't want to let him go, or maybe he didn't get the same notoriety that you would expect. But like, that's someone who could go to like a Portland, for example. And Phil Neville, right? Like Mark. he could bring, I think, more than just like your average academy player or whatever, where he's gotten a good amount of notoriety and viral moments with Messi, good skill set, that kind of thing surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, Gressel is the biggest question mark on the Miami roster. I mean, he makes so much money. They have two buyouts now. I don't know. If you're Miami, you're all in for Neymar, right? But do you buy out Gressel? Okay, you save up some salary there. You bring in some of these kind of lesser known name guys. You bring in Lucho Acosta, and if Neymar happens, you buy out Lucho Acosta, right? So I don't know. I don't know. There's ways of doing this because now you have that second buyout, right? So you put all your eggs in the Neymar basket, sure. But if it doesn't happen this year, you have Lucho Acosta for 1 year. You know, it's not the end of the world. You have Lucho Acosta for the Club World Cup and everything, you know. So it's interesting. And I think Miami's really taking their time because they really want to see what's going on with Neymar right now.
Okay. All right. Well, Fabian, thank you so much for joining us. It's been 52 minutes. We have one subject left to go through. This has been awesome. It's been great to get your perspective and your insider thoughts on all of these, you know, Inter Miami and MLS in general. But like we said, this is called Messy & Co. This is a Messy podcast first, Inter Miami podcast second, Global MLS Soccer podcast third. So Inter Miami season predictions. You said earlier you're going to be in Las Vegas to watch their first preseason game. I think, you know, we could say that compared to last year, this preseason is a little less daunting. I mean, they're in LA. They're in Vegas. They're going to be in Orlando. They're going to a few places in South America. Nothing compared to Hong Kong and Saudi Arabia, which is probably for the best because it was difficult, but let us know what is your level of excitement, or I know maybe you're not an Inter Miami fan, but what is your level of expectation maybe for this Inter Miami team and the different, you know, cups we're going to be in, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, the, you know, the Club World Cup, the Leagues Cup, MLS in general, you know, what do you see the season being like with the stars we have and, you know, the fact that this is now year three for Messi?
Yeah, look, actually, it's funny that you say I'm not an Inter Miami fan because I was the one screaming from the rooftop saying Miami needs to play at a different time than everybody else. and it looks like they heard something, right? So I'm super glad that now I can watch more MLS because I'm a weirdo like that. But I get to watch Miami with my parents because they know the names of Suarez, right. Messi, and they get to fall in love with guys like Campana, Taylor. So it's almost like I get to still watch Miami as a family, and then I get to watch RSL versus Colorado at 2 a.m. because I'm a sicko, you know? So
that's a sicko. That is a sicko watch.
But what I was going to say is I think if Miami wins one trophy this year, just one, not the Supporters Shield, because I don't even know if that's a real trophy because they weren't allowed to pick it up, or Cincinnati had to drive it down. I don't even know what's going on with
this. It's not a real trophy, so you're good.
if they win one trophy this year, it will be success. And I think that's MLS Cup, Leagues Cup, or Champions Cup. I think, Club World Cup too, but that was a far-fetched one. But if they win one of those four, this season is a success in my opinion, because it's hard to win MLS Cup. It's hard to win it. And the Galaxy kind of showed that last season. Just the Galaxy were killers. I mean, Ricky Puig, Gabriel Peck, Painsel, plus Yoshida. They had so many pieces.
Peck was excellent, yeah.
And they had pieces to win now. It wasn't like you were trotting a 22-year-old. I mean, Cerrillo was 24, but still, you're not trotting out a 22-year-old Federico Redondo out there. You know, it was a different mindset. They didn't go out there with the mindset that we're going to sell this guy for some profit 2 years later. So I think MLS Cup is just so hard to win. You might be able to win Champions Cup because Messi, for some reason, does very good against Mexican teams usually. It's something that I see them more likely winning Champions Cup than I see them winning MLS Cup, personally.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll jump in and say this. I think that I agree with you to a certain extent, Fabian, with if they have to at least win one, but I'll take it a step further. That one has to be either MLS, CONCACAF Champions, or FIFA Club World Cup. Mm. I'm not happy if they're winning the fake one, the Supporters Shield, which we both know is fake, or the Leagues Cup that was non-existent a few years ago, and is, we know what that is. To me, this team has already won Leagues Cup. They've already won Supporters Shield. When you have the type of players that you have on this team, the investment that you have on this team, I think that it demands big expectations. And for me, again, it could be one, like you said, but it's got to be CONCACAF Champions, MLS, or Club World Cup. If not, I think it unfortunately would be a failure for this team.
Wait, what do you mean? Leagues Cup trophy is the biggest trophy out there. What are you talking about? You put a baby in there.
It was awesome when they won it. Like, when they won in 2023, it was such a fun ride. It was such a bang start for Messi and MLS. Like,
Leagues Cup is very lucky that that was year one.
Look, and I'll say, I'm saying this about Leagues Cup, yet one of the top trending videos on our Five Reasons YouTube is me with my shirt off celebrating at a bar, the Leagues Cup, and I didn't realize I was being filmed as I say that.
That has 50,000 views and counting, maybe.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Hey, after this live stream, count that 51,000 or 50,001. All right, I'm gonna go watch that.
We should move it to the new channel to get our subscribers up immediately. But no, I think, you know, it will be interesting as the season unfolds to see what success looks like and what trophies look like. I will just also say, I disagree about Supporters Shield. It's the same thing as the Premier League. It is the same thing. The one with the most points wins the Premier League trophy. What's the difference? Anyway, we can have that debate on another day.
MLS, you don't play everybody at all. So that's one thing.
Well, yes. Yeah. All right. Well, let's not end this on a bad note, Fabian. We've been having such a good time, but yeah, it will be really interesting. I think, you know, Club World Cup, like, are we beating Real Madrid in a final? Probably not. If that happens, I'll be shouting from the rooftops. I think CONCACAF Champions Cup, I would like us to win it. We should definitely make it farther than we made it last time. MLS, same thing. MLS Cup, we should have won this past year. I expect us to be competing for it next year. Or this season, rather, and it'll be really interesting. But you know what? This was awesome. It was so great having you. I couldn't think of a better way to start this channel off. We'll probably have you on again when there's more news. And like I said, Neymar signs, I'm sending you the link to show that. That's second. But it's going to be a really fun season. Have a fun time at the Las Vegas game, at the preseason game. Let us know how Messi is and what you think. We're just getting started. We have a big MLS season ahead of us. A lot of soccer to talk about. A lot of Messi to talk about. Make sure you follow Fabian. Give yourself a shout out. Give your plugs right now so that everyone can know how to see your breaking news and your opinions about MLS.
Yeah, follow me at Fabian Rankle on Twitter. Sometimes I use Threads or Instagram too. But yeah, you can follow me at Fabian Rankle with the V. Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's a true blessing and a pleasure to be here. And I'm excited to see where the channel and the new show goes.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. And that is Fabian. And we will see you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.